though David was a king, though David was one with authority, though David was a pretty good fella, David also had some difficulties, didn't he? David was one that people had revered for, they had respect for. There's a lot of people that truly, truly cared for him. But David did have some difficulties just like many of us. But I would say that when we look at the life of King David, we can see pretty quick, and I believe that you'll agree with me according to the Bible, that David was indeed a man after God's own heart. Is that fair to say? When we look at several different passages of Scripture, it certainly does bring to light just how David was indeed a man after God's own heart. I can't help but to think about what the Scripture says over in the book of Psalms, chapter 62, down in verse 9, which pretty well reflects just how humble David was. And God expects us, brothers and sisters, to be humble, doesn't He? God expects us to live a life of humility, not one that is prideful, perhaps thinking we don't need God, but rather putting our dependence and our reliance upon our Heavenly Father. We also think about what the Bible says about David and his love for God and after God's own heart. I can't help but to think about the book of Psalms, chapter 18, down in verse 3, where we can witness pretty well that David was very reverent toward God, because God was certainly in David's eyes and in your eyes and mine worthy to be praised. Is that fair? God is worthy to be praised. Then I have to move on. And I think about what the Bible teaches us in Psalm chapter 31 down in verse 9, where David shows quite a bit of respect for the Lord when he calls upon the Lord to have mercy upon him. David knows where that mercy is coming from. David's very aware of where the grace is coming from. And he is petitioning that to God himself. I have to consider Psalm chapter 27 over in verse 1, where we can witness also that David had great trust in God. And I believe today that you and I are to do that, that we are to have trust and we have faith in our Heavenly Father. If you think about what the Bible says over in the book of Psalms, chapter 18, down in verse 1, it doesn't take long for you to see that David is also an individual that loved our Heavenly Father as well. David not only loved God, but David knew that God loved him. And he loved him with all of the strength. If we continue in our study in the book of Psalms, you'll think about Psalm chapter 4, down in verse 7. We can see that David was one that was truly devoted. I mean, he was devoted to God. Even though he sinned, even though he'd fallen short, even though he missed the mark, just like we do today, David was an individual that I can tell you with full confidence, according to the Scripture, that he was devoted to God. He had gladness. The Bible talks about the gladness that David felt in his heart. When we approach the very presence of God, when we are worshiping our Heavenly Father, when we are in prayer with Him, we should have gladness in our heart. Amen? We should be feeling the closeness that we have with our Heavenly Father. We should be full of joy and excitement knowing that we have approached the very throne of the one that created us, the very throne of the one who has saved us, the very one who sanctified us and set us apart from the world and added us to the very body of Jesus Christ. I think about Acts chapter 2, verse 47, having favor with all the people, the Lord added to the church, His church daily, those that are being what, brothers and sisters? Saved. How thankful and how grateful you and I should be this very day. I think about the end of the book of Psalm chapter 23, that passage of Scripture we read in almost every single funeral that I've ever participated in. I can assure you the one that's doing the service, the ones that's officiating, if I may, if that's a good word for it, and always does Psalm 23. But I think about Psalm 23, verse 6, and you can see the faithfulness of that great psalmist. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Do you remember him saying that? Even though he is facing death, he continues on. Even though he is in adversity, this king, this David, this servant, this man after God's own heart, he just continues on to do what he knows he should do. I can't help but to consider Psalm chapter 25 down around verse 11. And how David shows as one that is a repentant individual. Because he talks about that. He's asking God to pardon. If you look at that passage, he's asking God to pardon his iniquity. The word iniquity does mean separation from God in a way, doesn't it? Because sin separates us from God. So he's asking God to take away the sin, to take away that iniquity. Don't allow anything. And this is the way I see this passage. You can see it any way you want. But the way I'm looking at it is David saying, I don't want this iniquity. I don't want this sin because I know that iniquity and sin separates me from you. And I don't want anything separating me from Almighty God. If you believe that, confirm it with an amen. So we all agree so far that David was one that was after God's own heart. We all know what the Bible talks to us about in the book of Matthew, chapter 22, down around verse 37. The scripture tells us, you shall love the Lord your God with what? With all of your soul, with all of your mind. Verse 38, this is the first, and the Bible says this is not only the first, but it is the what? Thank you, Amy. It is the great commandment. This is everything that we have in a relationship with God is predicated upon our love for Him and His love for us, isn't it? God has demonstrated His love that while we were yet sinners and we were dying, headed for a place called hell, He sent Jesus to save you and me. In John chapter 3, verse 16, that you see on each side, for God so loved us, He sent His only begotten Son to die for you and me. Amen? Believing in Him, we shouldn't perish, but have everlasting life. God sent not His Son into the world to destroy us, to demolish everything, but rather just opposite of that. He sent His Son to save those that will obey Him, to save those that will abide in Him, to save those that will serve God with a full heart. Does that make any sense? Not a heart that's divided, not a heart that is separated, but a heart that is committed to Almighty God. I am convinced, and it is pretty clear what the Lord is saying to us today. He is telling us how we are to love Him, and that is to love Him without limitation, to love God in favorable and unfavorable conditions. In the book of Psalm, chapter 111, down in verse 1, the scripture says, praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart. I don't know if you can see that part. Do you see that part? Praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and right smack dab in the congregation. Do you see it? Smack dab probably not written in there, but the Bible talks about and in the congregation. In the book of Psalm, chapter 105, down around verse 3, the Bible says, glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. You want joy right now in your life? You're looking for some happiness? You're looking for some peace? You're looking for some tranquility, if I may? Why don't you just seek God and find out where the true happiness is? If you're depending upon the things of the world and the people of the world, believe me, brothers and sisters, get ready for a great fall. Do you understand what I'm saying? The only way that we're going to find true happiness, the only way that we're going to find peace, the only way we're going to find contentment, is by worshiping God with our whole heart. Not a Sunday morning religious person, but an everyday child of Almighty God. You get that, brothers and sisters? So that's what we've got to do, is make sure that we're doing this with our whole heart. David, a man after God's own heart. You believe it or not? All right. Is it okay to say today then that we could emulate David in that sense? That we could do what David has done? That, you know, yes, we know we all sin. Romans 3:23, for all of sin fall short of the glory of God. We also realize Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. Well, I don't want any part of that. I know my physical body's going to die, but I don't want my spiritual body to die. Does that make sense? But the Bible tells us in Luke 13:3, I tell you nay, but unless you repent, you'll all likewise perish. If you drop down two verses to verse 5, the Bible says, I tell you nay, unless you repent, you'll all likewise perish. I have no interest in that at all. What I have interest in is that beautiful place that's being prepared for me in the book of John, chapter 14, verse 2. In my Father's house are many. And Jesus says, I go there to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again, receive you to myself, that where I am there, you will be also. So that's what I want. Jesus says He's the one there to build us a place. And if it was not so, He would have told us. That's what He said. And I put my trust, I put my heart, I put my faith, I put my belief in this man called Jesus, the Son of Man. So as we think about that, I believe today that we can be like David, seeking after the very righteousness of God with our whole heart. Say it with me, with our whole heart. So let me give you about three things that we can consider this morning when we talk about David, a man after God's own heart. And at the end of the service, we need to be remembering Jerry, Amy, Heather, Esther, after God's own heart. Amen? And the Johnsons, after God's own heart. That's what we need to walk out with here in just a few moments. The first point that I want us to examine this morning is we're talking about being after God's own heart. I'm convinced that we, you and me together, we certainly need to, and here's the key word, prepare. Does that make sense? We need to prepare our hearts for the Lord. I like what the Bible teaches us over in the book of 1 Samuel. I hope that you're there because I want us to hang out there for just a second. But we can look at the book of 1 Samuel chapter 7 down in verse 3, and we can witness Samuel, and we can witness how he spoke to the house of Israel about getting their heart right with God. Take a look at this passage of Scripture. 1 Samuel chapter 7, down in verse 3. The Bible says, "Then Samuel spoke to all the house of Israel, saying, if," now watch this word, that's a conditional word, "if you return to the Lord with all your," then put away the foreign gods, small g, of the Ashtoreth from among you. And the Bible says, now here it connects it two actions together, doesn't it? The Bible says, and give me the next word. Prepare, that's what we're talking about right here in this point, and prepare your hearts for the Lord and serve Him, and He will deliver you from the hand of the Philistines. We talk about deliverance, don't we? We talk about sicknesses and ailments and difficulties and setbacks, etc., etc. If you want delivered, brothers and sisters, put your trust in God. Amen? Put our faith in God. Put our trust in God. We can't rely upon mankind. No, we can encourage one another, lift each other up, do what God's called us to do. But for deliverance, brothers and sisters, it is God. Amen? It is Jesus Christ, God's Son. Folks, just like Samuel was telling the children of Israel, so be it with us. So be it with every one of us also. If we have our heart right with God, I promise you, He will accept us, He will guide us, and He will do whatever we need done. It may not be exactly the way we want it or the way we desire it, but God is God and He'll take care of us. Do you believe that? Whether we are in the valley of distress or the mountain of success, I promise you, God will take care of His people. If you're having health ailments, you know what? God will see us through it, won't He? He will deliver us either in this physical life or He'll take us into heaven. Either way, we're still delivered. Do you get that? God still does not let us down. Sometimes people are having marital issues. You know what? If you'll quit trying to rely on other people and what mom says, dad says, son says, brother says, sister says, let's just go by what God says. Both of you put your reliance up on God. God will deliver you and He'll save your marriage. Do you believe that? But we've got to get it out of our own self. You know, it's got to be my way or the highway. Well, that seems to be the way it is with so many people. We've got to fix that. The only way we can fix it is by putting it back in those nail-scarred hands of Jesus Christ, giving Him our heart and our heart's desire. Does that make any sense? So, you know, He can save those marriages. There may be financial setbacks. You know, there are people that are facing financial difficulties. You know what? There's no need to rob in a bank. There's no need to try to scheme and scam over people. Put your heart and your faith and your trust in Almighty God. Is there a person in here that hadn't eaten in 3 or 4 days? It sure don't look it if you're looking at me. There hasn't. Everybody seemed to be doing pretty well. I'm not saying that we're huge, but we look pretty healthy, don't we? Everybody seems to be doing pretty well. God's taking care of His people, isn't He? So you're not going to go hungry. You know, there's a whole group of people here. If I'm hungry, I guarantee you, I can call the Johnson and say, "Hey, can you buy me a taco?" They'll say, "Yeah, I'm pretty confident." I can say, "Amy, give me a ride back to your old restaurant. I got a piece of meatloaf, man. I'm hungry." I guarantee you, any of y'all that are hungry, anybody in this congregation would feed you. Do y'all agree with that? Some of them going, "I literally have somebody, and I'm not going to punk them out." I don't know about that. I'm not giving up my cornbread. All right, I better not go with that movie. That's a bad one. Okay, so there may be financial setbacks. There may be people today in the valley of distress. Let me be very clear. Just because you see someone that may have a smile on their face, that they may seem okay, they could be ripped apart on the inside. Do you understand that? There's more than 3 people get that. And the reason I'm saying that is because sometimes we can pass by opportunities to serve other people. I'm preaching to me right now. But just because a person may walk up with a smile on their face doesn't mean that they're okay. We need to encourage everyone, the one that is crying, the one with a frown, the one with a smile. We still need to be encouragers. Does that make sense? We need to be what Jesus is, a lover of all people. And we need to do just that. God can help us through that if we prepare our hearts for the Lord. So when people are in that valley of distress, we need to be there for them, but like Jesus is for us. No matter what the situation, no matter what the challenge, I want us to know today that if we have our hearts prepared for the Lord, He will deliver us. So many people today, they want the Lord and they desire the Lord to see them through these difficulties and they want the Lord to see them through the trial that they may be facing. But sadly, their hearts are far away from God. Have you ever seen those people? Many times, and I'm not trying to stereotype, but many times, people that go to jail that's never had a relationship with God, they've never had a relationship with Jesus, when they get in jail, and I'm certainly not judging, I'm just using this as a point, have you noticed that many times they find Jesus? And we're probably all familiar with that. And you know, Jerry Jr. and I have a friend that's been back and forth several times, and every time he goes, I found Jesus. I didn't know Jesus was locked up, but the reality is, where was he at? I didn't know he was in jail. Jesus is everywhere, isn't he? But the place that he needs to be is in our hearts, brothers and sisters. And we don't need to go find Jesus. Jesus is there. We need to open our hearts up to the Lord. We need to allow him to deliver us. The point of this whole thing is we need to prepare our hearts for the Lord. Are you in agreement or not? So I think about what Jesus says in Matthew 15 down in verse 8. These people draw near to me. Oh, here they are. They draw near to me with their mouth and they honor me with their lips. The Bible says, but their heart is what? They may utter words that everything is hunky-dory and everything is fine. But if their heart's far from God, so is their soul. Amen? You agree? If we're going to be right in the sight of God, if we want to be joint heirs with Jesus Christ, if we want to be an heir of that place called heaven, you and I must prepare our hearts for the coming of the Lord. Prepare and be ready, because no one, according to Matthew 24, verse 36, nobody, not even the Son of Man, knows the time that he's coming back to get us. Amen? So let's make sure that our hearts are prepared for the Lord. The second point that I want to examine today is this. Number one, remember, we are to prepare our hearts for the Lord. Say that with me. We are to prepare our hearts for the Lord. The second point is this. We must walk, W-A-L-K. We must walk in truth before God with all of our heart. We must walk in truth before God with all of our heart. Walk with the Lord. Amen? It's real an example of walking in truth, brothers and sisters, before God is found over in the book of 1 Kings. I hope you'll go there. 1 Kings chapter 2. So we're going to look at verses 1 through 4, where we can witness David. This David fellow we're talking about at the very beginning of the service. He's talking to his son Solomon, and he's giving him some instruction about walking in truth and walking before God. Not ahead of God, but walking before God. Walking with God is the point that he's trying to get across here. Let's take a look and see what's happening. 1 Kings chapter 2, 1 through 4. All found? Now the days of David drew near that he should die. And he charged Solomon, his son, saying, now watch this. Charge means like that passage of scripture. I charge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies to live in sacrifice, holy, acceptable. What Paul was simply saying there to the Roman people was, get ready, I'm charging you. I'm giving you a challenge. I'm giving you an injunction. I'm giving you a God commandment. Is that okay? Well, watch this. Now the days of David drew near that he should die, and charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all of the earth. Be strong, therefore, and the Bible says what? Prove yourself a man. Keep the charge of the Lord your God to walk in his ways. There, oh, I love that. To keep his statutes, his commandments, his judgments, his testimonies, as is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do and wherever you turn. That the Lord, now are you seeing this? I love the way David's explaining that to him. He says every bit of your deliverance and every bit of your success is going to come from who? Going to come from God. But you have to do what? You have to serve him. You have to walk in truth before him. Number four, that the Lord may fulfill his word which he spoke concerning me, saying, if your sons take heed to their way, to walk before me. Say that with me. To walk before me in truth with all of their heart, with all of their soul. He said, you shall not lack a man on the throne of you see what the Bible's talking about there? We are charged. You and I are being charged today to walk before the Lord. And to walk before the Lord in that truth. Did you notice the words the Bible said in verse 4? If your sons take heed to their way and walk before me in truth. There's a condition, brothers and sisters, for the Lord seeing us through. I think about what the Bible says over in 1 John 1:7, a passage I visit quite often. The Bible says, if we walk in the as he is in the, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all of our sins. But did you notice one of the key words there? If. If we walk in the light. If our heart's ready. If we are walking as God is telling us to walk. Friends, if we want to be pleasing to the Lord, then without exception, we must walk in the truth before God with all of thy hearts. That's why I'm always trying to encourage you and myself to be sure that we're studying the Word of God so that we can know firsthand what God's expecting of His people. I love what Paul told Timothy over in 2 Timothy 2:15. He looked at that young boy, that young preacher, and he says, hey, come here a minute. Timothy walks over to him and he says, let me tell you something. He said, study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman need not be ashamed. And he goes on to tell him, he said, rightly dividing what? The word of truth of the word of God. That was his charge to this young preacher. He told him, he said, don't let people despise your youth. He says, you be ready in season, out of season. He told him that because there's going to be people that's going to heap up for themselves, teachers. He gave him quite a bit of things for this young Timothy to absorb. But all he was doing for this young preacher was helping him prepare his heart, wasn't he? He was showing him how to get his heart right and to be sure that he too is doing what God's calling him to do. When we study to show ourselves approved, brothers and sisters, according to 2 Timothy 2:15, I love what John 8:32 backs up. John says, 8:32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? The truth shall set you free. It shall make you free from the eternal consequences of sin. I can't help but to think about what the scripture says in Romans chapter 6, down in verse 4. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should, anybody got it? Walk. Did you see that? Yes or no? Walk in the newness of life. Walking in the newness of life. Walking as God's precious children. Walking as the redeemed, because we have been purchased. Amen? We've been purchased by the very blood of Jesus Christ. Purchased by the Son of Almighty God. Walking before God, with God, and doing all that we can in a heart, mind, body, and soul. So what is it today that we must do? Regarding being after God's own heart, like David was, we must walk in truth before the Lord with all of thy heart. Your third point, and then this lesson goes home with you. We remember now, number one, we've got to prepare our hearts. Yes or no? Secondly, we've got to walk before the Lord with all of our heart. Yes? And third, here's your third and final one. Not limited to this list. This could go on for a long time. But also I'm convinced, according to the Bible, that we must serve him with all of our heart. What warrants that thought? Here's what warrants that thought. Because there are people today that know God, yes or no? There are people, brothers and sisters, that are in a ceremonial act about their relationship with God. Does that make sense? There are people that are caught up in a routine that say that they love God. But brothers and sisters, you and I must serve God with all of our heart. That means the very fiber of our heart. Every single thing about our heart needs to be about God, doesn't it? And then God will supply the other things. God will let growth come about. God will show us how to love others and love our enemies. He's going to show us what growth is about. Remember, that's what Paul told Timothy. 2 Timothy 2:15 said, study to show thyself approved unto who? All right, so we've got to make sure, too, that we serve God with all of our heart. Well, how are we going to do that if we're not studying it? Study it. God tells us how to do it. It allows us to build a stronger relationship with Almighty God. And serving God means I've got to also serve those people I don't like. You agree with that? That's hard to do, isn't it, Jerry? It is hard. Now, we sometimes use the statement, well, we'd never be chicken-eating buddies, and I love their soul. I hope they go to heaven. I am so glad that God hasn't given up on me like I've given up on others. Amen? So we need to make sure that we're serving and that we serve him with all of our heart, not in a selfish way, but doing what God tells us to do. The Bible tells us that if we serve God and we do it diligently and with all of our heart, he will provide. I'm going to have to take you back to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 11. I was going to let it slide, but I can't. Deuteronomy chapter 11. Y'all want to look at this? Let's do it. Let me show you some goodies in here. He'll provide for us, brothers and sisters. God will provide for us as we are keeping his law, doing what he is calling us to do, and serving him, once again, with all of our heart. So let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 1. Everybody there? The Bible says, therefore you shall love the Lord your God, and you shall keep his what? You're going to keep his charge. You're also going to keep his statutes. Not only statutes, but his what? And not only his judgment, but what? Give me the last word. Always. So we have these commandments. So we're clear as a whistle on what we are to do right here. We're going to serve him with all that we've got. Well, what's involved in that, Amy, is doing what he's telling us to do. Well, let's drop down to verse 8. Do you mind going to verse 8? Therefore, you shall keep every commandment which I command you today, that you may be strong and go in and possess the land for which you crossed to possess. Let's go ahead and do verse 9 too. And that you may prolong your days in the land which the Lord swore to give your fathers, to them and their descendants, a land flowing with milk and... Just go ahead and go to 13. Deuteronomy 11, verse 13. The Bible says, and it shall be that if you earnestly obey my commandments, which I command you today, to love the Lord your God, and give me the next word. There it is. And serve him with all of your heart and with all of your soul. You see, brothers and sisters, it doesn't take long to see that we have got to be serving some individuals. You agree with that? Head over to the book of Joshua. Let me show you something else. Joshua chapter 24. Will you keep the word serve in mind as we're looking at this? I appreciate the three people that said, yeah, let me ask this again. Will you keep the word serve in mind as we're looking at this? Don't make me go crazy. Joshua 24:14-24. Everybody about ready? The Bible said, I'm going to call you on some words here. Everybody's engaged. If you don't engage, I'm starting over. You're going to get awfully hungry. Now, therefore, fear the Lord. Give me the next word. All right, now we did this on a Wednesday night one time for those of you who may say, this smells familiar. In sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river. And in Egypt, the Bible says, what the Lord? 15. And if it seems evil for you to... All right, look at that. Serve the Lord. Choose for yourselves this day whom you will. Whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the river, the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, do you remember what Joshua said? He said, for me and my crew, we will... There you go. Who are they going to serve? So if the people... Watch this. So the people answered and said, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to other gods. For the Lord our God... He brought us and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from whose house? From the house of bondage. Who did these great signs in our sight, preserved us in all the way that we went and among all the people for whom we passed. And the Lord drove out from before us all the people, including the Amorites who dwell in the land. We also serve the Lord. Why? For he is our... All right. Now, watch this, Heather. You ready? Now, Heather, verse 19. But Joshua said to the people, you cannot what? Very good. You cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He's a jealous God. He's not going to forgive your transgressions or your sins. If you forsake the Lord and foreign gods, then he will turn, watch this, and do you harm. He'll consume you after he has done you what? Good. And the people said to Joshua, no. They're getting pretty serious about this. No, but we will. So Joshua said to the people, you know what? Your witness is against yourselves, that you have chosen the Lord for yourself to serve him. And they said, we are indeed what? Witnesses. Go to 23. Therefore he said, put away the foreign gods which are among you and incline your heart to the Lord of God of Israel. And the people said to Joshua, the Lord our God, we will, and his voice, the Bible says, we will what? Thank you, Teresa. We will obey. Are you guys and girls getting this? We've got to prepare our hearts, don't we? We've got to serve God. We've got to do what he's calling us to do. We prepare, we walk, and we serve, the Bible says. You can also consider Solomon's prayer over in 1 Kings chapter 6, 28 through 30, and see how that word is being delivered. You can also think about other ways throughout the teachings of the Bible where you can see God being served. When it comes to an example of one that has served with all of his heart, with all of his mind, with all of his body, with everything that he had, it reminds me of what took place in Matthew 26:36-46. Y'all remember Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane? You remember Jesus Christ not only in the Garden of Gethsemane, but prayed how many times to his followers this cup of death can pass from him? All right, so Jesus himself... He served with all that he had, didn't he? Did Jesus Christ end up losing his physical life? Was he put up on that cruel cross at Calvary? Was he beaten? Was he scourged? Was he mocked? Was he spat upon? Did he have a crown of thorns crushed into his brow? All right, all of these things happened because of Jesus' sin? No. He did that because of our sin. Did he do that, Esther, because of the guilt that Jesus carried? No. He did it because of our guilt, didn't he? And he set us free, brothers and sisters. He set us free through his life. We've been redeemed. I've heard a song a while back that says, I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. You ever heard that song? And that is a beautiful song. And I have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. But because we've been redeemed and bought and purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ, that doesn't guarantee us a home in heaven. What guarantees us a home in heaven is this: when we are faithful, when we are loyal, when we are obedient, faithful children of Almighty God. You understand what I'm saying? And we've got to have our hearts prepared. We've got to be prepared. We've got to walk, and we've got to serve. The list is endless, folks, of what I'm talking about today. So the question is warranted. Are you today an individual after God's own heart? We know that folks must believe in their hearts in order to be saved. You agree with that? We know that we are to hear God's word, believe. We know that repentance must take place. We know that there's a confession that must take place. And that confession is that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that he was murdered for my sins and your sins. I believe that he was buried. But I also know without a fact that upon the third day, this Jesus rose again, didn't he? He come here and he taught us some more. Then he ascended on high and he's now sitting at the right hand of the Father. I believe that with everything I've got in my life. And then because of that, I choose this day to serve my Heavenly Father. And I hope that you will serve Him with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your soul. We must give God what is His, and we are His. Amen? Say that with me. Give God what is His, and we must give God what He is, and we are His. Okay, there's a couple back in the back asleep. Snap it. Just wake up. All right. So this guy, get that done. Look at him with guilt. Okay. Yeah, I ain't going to call it a name. I'll get you in a minute. Absolutely. So, well, I can't really say anything because I was listening, quite honestly, I was listening a couple weeks ago to my lesson because sometimes I cry, take my own lessons. And I started my lesson there and I kind of was kicked back at my desk and I have never slept that solid. So I can't really say anything to those that were asleep. Anyway, I did. I slept great. So, what I'm listening to at night when I go to sleep. God knows the secrets of our hearts, yes or no? Does He search our heart? Does He strengthen our heart? Shouldn't Jesus shine in the hearts of mankind? God gives us a new heart, darling, whenever we meet Him in baptism, doesn't He? So today the question is asked, how is your heart today? Is thy heart right with God? If it's not, you're in a perfect place. You've come to the Heart Hospital. We're right here to help you today to become a Christian. Hear God's word, believe, repent, confess, be baptized for the forgiveness of sins, be faithful unto death, and always remember that we are indeed our brother's keeper. Perhaps today you realize, you know what, I am a Christian, I'm a follower of Christ, but I've allowed things to detour that or derail that, if I may. It's kind of got me off track. I want to get back doing what God knows I need to do and what I know I need to do. I want a home in heaven with God and the heavenly host. Today, if you have a need, any need at all, you're welcome to come right now as together we stand in peace.